This is Jay Sekulow. Senate Democrats try to shut down the Kavanaugh hearing.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I welcome everyone to this confirmation hearing on the nomination of
Mr.
Judge
Chairman
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve as Associate Justice.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like
Supreme
to be recognized for a question
States.
Before we proceed. The
order.
Committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
Mr. Chairman, if we cannot be recognized, I move to adjourn.
The American people.
Mr. Chairman, I move
to
adjourn.
Directly from Judge Kavanaugh.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This committee has more materials for Judge Kavanaugh's nomination than we have had on any Supreme Court nominee in history. Senators have had more than enough time and materials to adequately assess Judge Kavanaugh's qualifications, and so that's why I proceed.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, call it whatever you want, anarchy, disrespect of the process, call it disrespect of the nominee and his family, call it grandstanding, or call it what it really is, a circus. The nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, probably the most qualified nominee for the Supreme Court that we've had in decades, certainly well qualified, tremendous reputation on the bench. Tremendous reputation as a lawyer in private practice as well in government service. And instead you heard in the beginning of this broadcast, the volume of angst and trying to adjourn the hearings before they started. But let me say something right at the top here. The Washington Post put in there today in their editorial that Kavanaugh should break the trend of stonewalling the Senate. That is, they want him to answer how he will rule on particular cases. Let me play for the Washington Post and for everybody else that's listening what Justice Ginsburg said when asked a specific question about a specific case.
You are well aware that I come to this proceeding to be judged as a judge, not as an advocate. Because I am and hope to continue to be a judge, it would be wrong for me to say or to preview in this legislative chamber how I would cast my vote on questions the Supreme Court may be called upon to decide. And
then she has another bite where she says not a hint, nothing. And we're going to get that one too. We have that one as well. Let me play that because it's important for you to understand.
A judge sworn to decide impartially can offer no forecasts, no hints, for that would show not only disregard for the specific of the particular case, it would display disdain for the entire judicial process.
So, according to the Washington Post, Mr. Kavanaugh should break this trend. That is because stonewalling is rendering irrelevant the most viable, visible public opportunity to vet nominees for a lifetime appointment to the nation's highest court. They need to be reminded, the highest court, that means they're a judge. So you didn't prejudge cases. And, of course, they really want to get into how Brett Kavanaugh might rule with regard to Article 2 issues that might come up in reference to the special counsel's investigation. Again, asking them to prejudge cases that may come before the court. So now they want to change the rule, or at least the approach that Justice Ginsburg put in place, which every nominee since then has utilized. They call it the Ginsburg standard, the Ginsburg rule, which I think is the right rule, by the way. A judge should not prejudge a case. But now they want to change it.
Yeah, and so of course you don't have the same process you had before. Much of this by Democrats, again, it's for display purposes only.
Yep.
The protesting, the commentary, they don't have the votes on the Senate Judiciary Committee. They don't have the votes in the U.S. Senate. They can thank themselves for that. And Harry Reid, going back to the end of needing those supermajorities and to overcome a filibuster to get to these nominees. And ultimately, this nomination is really over before it started.
If Mr. Kavanaugh were to cast a decisive vote favoring Mr. Trump, this was in the event of an Article 2 challenge on a subpoena or something like that, it would appear as though the president put him on the court to do just that, and that Mr. Kavanaugh followed the script. Well, that's fundamentally incorrect. Judges decide cases put before them. But also, the Constitution says the president gets to appoint, with the advice and consent of the Senate, nominees to the Supreme Court. So there you have it. That's the law. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Democrats plotted coordinated protest strategy over the holiday weekend and all agreed to disrupt and protest the hearing, sources tell me. And this is from Casey Hunt. And Casey Hunt is with NBC News. So that's what her sources tell her. And they are. And it's not, it's going to completely backfire, as it does. So we're talking, taking your phone calls about all this. 1-800-684-3110. We're giving you coverage of the Brett Kavanaugh hearing. And we've got Andy Economo, our senior counsel, and our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, joining us. I just asked Harry during the break. I'm going to ask him now. And so for our radio audience, I'd like you to talk with them. So looking at it now as it started, we were all in there watching. What was your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction is what we have is disruption multiplied by disruption. The Democrats claim that this disruption is simply the noise of protests.
Noise of democracy is what
they actually said. The noise of democracy. In actuality, the Democrats are committed to bigotry and bullying on a grand scale. They're trying to bully the nominee into withdrawing his own nomination. That is unprecedented.
Did they actually, didn't he say that? Someone actually said something to that. We haven't. Okay, listen, here you go.
This is a different hearing for the Supreme Court than I've ever been through. It's different in what's happened in this room just this morning. What we've heard is the noise of democracy. This is what happens in a free country when people can stand up and speak and not be jailed, imprisoned,
here because
tortured.
The noise of democracy, you know what he's referencing, Andy? The people that were disrupting the hearings.
The noise of democracy is not the noise of the mob, nor is it the noise of anarchy. And that's what Mr. Durbin is referring to when he says that. And I think that's reprehensible. You do things with order, decorum, taxi, as we say in Byzantine Greek, things that are done orderly, because that is the way you do things. And Senator Grassley is a decent and honorable man, and for him to tolerate this long has been surprising to me.
So breaking news right now on CNN is Judiciary Chairman refuses to hold vote on Kavanaugh hearing delay.
I mean, he decided to have he set the date. So he's the chairman that set the date, regardless of what the protest by Democrats. This is when we're going to start. We've all known this is the starting date. This is when we're going to have our opening statements. And this is ultimately part of being in the majority. Now, it's a slim majority, but with that slim majority comes the chairmanship of the committees and the control. It also means you don't have to have the supermajorities anymore. We know that. So you're not trying to convince these on-the-line Democrat senators anymore. You don't need any of them to be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court as we speak today.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We're giving you an analysis of this. We'll break to the hearing when we think it's appropriate. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to Keith in Missouri on line one. Keith, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Keith, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I think it's kind of curious, or funny, you might say, that they're so worried about not having time to read these records. It didn't seem to bother them a couple years ago when they were looking at voting Obamacare in. As a matter of fact,
they didn't read. They couldn't read. That, what was it? Nancy Pelosi famously said, "We won't know what's in it until we pass it."
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So why? I mean, I know we need to know all about him, and he's a good guy. But they're making such an uproar.
Look,
about
he's
it
got
it,
never... Keith. He's got a 13-year record on the bench, so they're trying to pull statements out of his time as the staff counsel at the White House. Now, the staff counsel. It doesn't sound like a big position. The truth of the matter is it's a very important position. No one's denying that. But most of the information that the staff counsel deals with is protected under under executive privilege because no paper goes to the president's desk, and Brett Kavanaugh served as a staff counsel for President Bush. No paper goes to the president's desk unless it goes through the staff counsel. So it's a very important job, and they're claiming limited executive two privilege, and I think that's what it is, a limited executive two privilege, on documents they deem appropriate.
Yeah, and this goes back again to the time of the Bush administration. A lot of these battles, I mean, this is why I think plenty of the younger candidates of the Democrat Party are right that if they don't change their voices, this is one problem that they seriously have. I don't think they can quite cross finish lines is because it's the same people like Dick Durbin who are still obsessed with the George W. Bush presidency and what happened then. And that is kind of, they're kind of stuck in that past. I mean, you know, it's a long time ago now. And ultimately, what we have to get at is limited privileges. This is not Elena Kagan, who had no judicial record. This is someone who's been on the D.C. circuit for a decade, who's got plenty of records, 300-plus opinions they've written. And you can go through all – if you're talking about who they are as a judge, not who they were as a lawyer, but who they were as a judge, their judicial philosophy – no one can get up there and act like they don't know. That's why they've already prejudged. Every one of them on that committee has decided how they voted.
This is like the show before the actual vote. Under the Constitution, it's advice and consent of the Senate, so the Senate has a role to play, no question about it. What should they actually be looking for?
Well, first, they should be looking for a judge who understands the Constitution and the text of the Constitution. And a careful review of Judge Kavanaugh's opinions, dissenting opinions, and his concurring opinions establishes that he is a well-respected judge. And in addition, the Supreme Court has adopted his reasoning in 12 Supreme Court cases. And so if you look at the breadth of his record on Obamacare, contraceptive rights, religious liberty, administrative law, it is clear beyond question that he is well qualified. The ABA has said he is well qualified. Chuck Schumer has said that's the gold standard with respect to Supreme Court nominees, apparently unless they're Republicans. So now the Democrats are engaged in a stalling tactic simply because they are demanding more and more records, which they do not plan to read.
Let me play Senator Patrick Leahy's question to Senator Grassley and get Andy and Jordan to comment on this. Here we go.
What are we trying to hide? Why are we rushing?
I can answer all the questions that have been raised, but I think if I answer those questions, it's going to fit into the effort of the minority to continue to obstruct. And I don't think that that's fair to our judge. It's not fair to our constitutional process.
And then you hear the protesters shout. All right, Andy, what's your reaction to this?
The reaction is disgust, Jay. I mean, it really is disgust. You, as Harry was saying, this judge has been on the court, D.C. Circuit for 12 years. He's written 307 opinions. Why don't you go through his opinions? instead of his papers that he went through when he was staff secretary to George Bush. Why don't you go through his opinions and ask him, what about this opinion? What about this thing? Why did you cite this case? What does this have to do with this? Why did you say this? How does this have a constitutional basis? How did you arrive at this conclusion with respect to this opinion? You've got 307 opinions that you need to look at. You don't need to look at all the documents that he ever authored or that he ever passed muster on when he was in the White House.
All right, let's take another phone call. We're taking your calls, by the way, 800-684-3110. A lot of them coming in. We'll try to grab one here before the break.
Gail in Nebraska, online for Gail. Welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Gail. Go ahead. You're on. Okay, she's Gail, on. You got to turn your radio down, and then we will get back to you. Let's take another call.
Bill calling from Wyoming, online too. Bill, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Bill.
Good day to you, gentlemen. And real quick, kudos to what you guys have been doing.
Thanks.
I appreciate all the work you're doing and my support for it. It's going for a good cause. I've got two comments, one of them in the form of a question.
Yep.
First one is, how would this be if the roles were reversed and the Democrats were actually in charge and the Republicans would try and disrupt things like they're doing today? Number two is
Let me start with that one. Here's the Republicans vote for Elena Kagan, 66 to whatever it was. I mean, the Republicans don't do what the Democrats do on the party line voting. I mean, it's just that's a fact. For good or for ill, by the way. I'm not judging. It's just they don't. Now, I think that when a president wins an election, I said this when President Obama was nominating justices. They get, I mean, there's obviously the president gets to make the nomination, but the Senate has the right to advice and consent. I mean, that's what's in the Constitution itself. Was there another part of that?
There wouldn't be protesters either. I mean, the conservative side just doesn't have that kind of civil disobedience aspect to it. Maybe sometimes
I'm not so sure it's civil disobedience either. When you're doing that in the middle of a hearing, I think
willing to get arrested.
Yeah,
That is not something that's going to be in the conservative activist normal handbook. It is in the far left.
Yeah,
and remember, the far left has been totally embraced by the mainstream Democrat
Party.
Well,
I think that's a big
under
part
Tom
of it.
Perez, and so under Tom Perez and the other Democrats. You have these liberal activists that are in there, and they don't seem so outside the mainstream anymore.
Right.
They've got Dick Durbin telling them that they're doing a great job.
Well, he actually said that it's the voices of democracy, the noise of democracy.
Like, let them protest outside.
You had the right to protest outside, but interrupting a hearing is just not the right way it's supposed to be. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let me ask Harry this quickly in 10 seconds, 20 seconds. You think they keep the protests up for the full 4 days of this?
I think for at least the first 48 hours they will.
Andy?
Oh, yes, I do.
It's planned.
I think it's orchestrated, it's planned, it's intended this way.
Yeah, I mean, I think they want to slow this down as much as possible because ultimately that's the only kind of victories they can win here, is slowing it down.
All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more, including your phone calls. We come back from the break. And by the way, thank you to all of our ACLJ members for making our August matching challenge a success. We thank you for that. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The Kavanaugh hearing is ongoing as we speak. Now gotten to the point where it is the opening remarks by the senators. The makeup of the committee, it's controlled by their majority party, so the Republicans are in control. The chairman is Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa. There are 21 members, 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats. So by the kind of how you hear the voices when you've got kind of this left-right divide here, when you hear the voices, it can almost sound, it is almost pretty even. Ultimately, you go through the hearing process, could last a few days. Maybe it's delayed a little bit by the antics that happened this morning from Democrats not letting the hearing really begin to get to those opening statements. But ultimately, there's a vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee. That vote, while it's important, and I'm sure it will be pretty much party line on this nominee, is not really the actual vote. It's the vote before the U.S. Senate. You no longer have a filibuster to go over, so you've got a slim Republican majority right now. 50-49, there's the vacancy with Senator McCain's passing. Also, the vice president can cast a tie-breaking vote as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of different issues. I think what is most interesting today so far, because we haven't really gotten into substance yet of any kind of judicial philosophy and those discussions, is just the disruption campaign and what we're seeing of the left, basically the protest movement becoming official in the U.S. Senate. Let's go to Kimberly calling in from Alabama on line 3. Kimberly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for having me on.
Hi, Kimberly.
My question was, can these people be vetted before they're allowed into this hearing?
These hearings, if you stand in line, it's open to the public. There's not a ton of seating for the public. I'll tell you, I've been to Supreme Court hearings before. There's not a lot of seats left that have not already been accounted for. That being said, when they showed the crowd, it was pretty obvious that they had let in about 2 or 3 rows of protesters. But I don't think they can really stop that before someone's actually done something. So if they've been okay in line and they follow those rules, but if you look at the it's basically code pink protesters, well-known activists that you know are going to do this. But it is, there are parts of this open to the public. Now, the room could be cleared. And remember, the hearing would still be broadcast. So it's not like we're being shut out. But the room could be cleared if it gets so disruptive. And I think we've gotten pretty close to that, Andy. This morning, especially, if you were tuning in as an American, it was pretty embarrassing.
I mean, these strident voices and this keening and yelling and carrying on, I think, is really demeaning to the decorum of the United States Senate and to congressional and governmental operations generally. And Senator Grassley, as chairman, I think, did what he had to do in terms of restraining it with great restraint. And because he is a decent and good man, and he's trying to conduct a hearing, and I think that he's trying his best to see that it's conducted with that kind of decorum. It's very difficult to do when you have these protesters who scream out, even when Democrats are talking. I mean, when Senator Leahy from Vermont was talking, they even interrupted him, and he said, I'm not going to be interrupted by one side or the other. So even he, who's a very liberal left-wing senator, admitted that it was improper.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening throughout. Now, it's causing chaos. It's also causing, it's tough to focus. It's tough to pay attention. But it's also, I think Cindy writes in on Facebook, how will Democrats' behavior affect those up for re-election in November? Harry, they are playing to their base right now, 100% by kind of, you see Dick Durbin encouraging the protesters, but also their rhetoric too of basically trying to put pressure on Brett Kavanaugh, as Dick Durbin said, to put a halt to their own hearing. They don't want this. They want to somehow play up to their base that they've got the power to do something about this nomination when they don't.
Absolutely. So what they are doing right now is that they're engaged in a massive TV fundraising campaign
However, I think at the end of the day, Democrats in red states, the red state senators, a number of them will vote in support of this nominee who is extremely well qualified. I think it's important to note that House Minority Leader Pelosi said at an event in San Francisco that she prays a lot in the hopes of stopping the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. I believe in the power of prayer, and I think it's urgent. I think there's very little evidence that Nancy Pelosi actually believes in prayer as much as she believes in politics. And so no matter how competent Judge Kavanaugh is, I think what we are witnessing is Democratic theatrics, which is all part of the Trump derangement syndrome.
By the way, I think that Nancy Pelosi, I mean, that's basically all she's got. She doesn't have the votes. Obviously, the House has no say in these confirmation battles. I'm not sure if the person asking the question, which we'll play for you so you can hear it yourself. And again, this idea of invoking the power of prayer on a nominee, that again, it does show that at least she's being honest. That's kind of, they don't have the actual vote, so you'd have to have something unique happen, to say the least, to stop the Kavanaugh nomination. Now, let's listen by 30.
Speaking of women's rights, can we stop Kavanaugh and how?
I pray a lot. I believe in the power of prayer, and I think it is urgent.
So, I mean, again, that's the Nancy Pelosi feeling. I think you can judge that for yourself. I mean, it's hard to say anything else. I'm just letting her.
I just don't think that divine intervention is going to cause Joe Manchin to decide, or Claire McCaskill or Donnelly or Tester or any of the Republican Democrats who are up for reelection whether they should vote for Kavanaugh or not.
And listen, they can favor Democrats if you get a few of those, the ones you name basically who are up for reelection, to cross over and support a Brett Kavanaugh. I think it actually helps Democrats make a case that they can have these differences, and not all of them are this party line, but certainly the Judiciary Committee Democrats so far who have decided to show up today at the hearing, they are taking a hard line left approach, and they're embracing the hard left right in the public's eye. When people are rarely paying attention to a Senate Judiciary Committee, they do it during Supreme Court nominees. And they'll watch it this evening on their evening news as well. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Take a call, quick call before the break. Gail in Nebraska, let's try your call on line 4. Gail, welcome to JSecio Live.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for all the work that you do and that you stay the course for the nation. Thank you.
Thanks, Gail.
I had a question. Oh, you're welcome. I had a question about why the heck was that? I heard that some of this was answered, why the hecklers are not removed from the room, because you couldn't do that in a regular courtroom. I understand this is a hearing, and I'd like to know the difference. And another quick question is about the pages that they want. Do they really already have a million pages already on Judge Kavanaugh?
I know there's hundreds of thousands. I think if you add up all the also public documents, National Archives, not even documents are requested here, it gets into the very huge amounts of paperwork.
Absolutely. And so it is beyond the capacity of senators to read all of the documents that they have available already.
I would say on the hearing side, it's not the same as a judicial proceeding, but they do have the power. If they need to clear the room, they can. So I think that ultimately, if these protesters are to the point where it's not just one every 10 minutes, but every 30 seconds, then certainly that should be something they do. It doesn't block any of us out. It doesn't change the process in our Democratic Republic, because we can all watch this now live on television. 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour is coming up on JSecio Live. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on JSecio Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This committee has more materials for Judge Kavanaugh's nomination than we have had on any Supreme Court nominee in history. Senators have had more than enough time and materials to adequately assess Judge Kavanaugh's qualifications, and so that's why I proceed.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Well, the hearings have gone off to an auspicious start. Is that a good way of saying that, Andy?
Auspicious is a good word. I think delicious and auspicious. If you're a Democrat, they've gone exactly according to the playbook, which is disruption, creating chaos.
Yep.
Creating a rule of the mob and preventing the orderly and proper questioning of the candidate and the examination of what should count, and that is his 307 opinions, period, the end.
Yeah, I mean, this is a highly coordinated move, playing up to a liberal base by a party who has no ability to actually stop the nomination, and because you'd have to get Republican votes to do that. Which is not going to be the case. In fact, you will likely get, as Lindsey Graham said, some Democrat votes. And we've talked about here that the moderate Democrats up for re-election, the Joe Manchin types, may ultimately end up voting for this nominee. But even saying that, they don't have to, and you could still move forward. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line 5. Jerry's been holding on. You're on the air, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
No. Part of my question was answered by the previous call in regards to spectator disruption.
Yep.
Participant disruption, say Democratic seniors, senators do some things that are borderline out of order. Does the chairman have enough
he can rule them out of order. So, I mean, he can actually do a rule. It's a legislative hearing, but it follows almost like a court proceeding in the sense that the chairman almost serves as the judge in a sense and can rule something out of order, Andy.
Yes, that's why it's parliamentary procedure. The chairman makes the decision as to whether or not a question or a comment is in order, and if they're out of order and what they're saying is not germane or relevant to what is before the committee, Senator Grassley, as the chairman, can rule it out of order and stop it from occurring, and he can ultimately enforce it by having the sergeant-at-arms remove the offending senator. So there are tremendous authorities and powers that the chairman has. Senator Grassley is being very, very restrained in the way he is proceeding today, and I applaud him for doing so.
Do you sense, Harry, that what the Democratic, those that are opposed to the nomination of a very well-qualified nominee in Brett Kavanaugh, one of the most well-qualified we've ever had, that this is just an attempt to distract from the fact that this guy is going to be confirmed?
Well, I think that's true, but I also think many of the Democrats are engaged in a performance in 2018, which they see as a preview of their attempt to become the presidential nominee of the Democratic Party in 2020. So it's highly coordinated, it's highly theatrical, and at times it's highly hysterical. So if you look, for instance, at the claims made by Senators Blumenthal, Kamala Harris, and Patrick Leahy, they are claiming that these hearings are unprecedented. That is simply nonsense.
By the way, we got some breaking news that John Kyle, a former senator from Arizona, will be replacing John McCain until, when is that election? How long will he serve?
It's 2 years.
2 years.
So he'll be back in the U.S. He was a good friend and was on the Judiciary Committee, actually, and someone I worked with closely over the years, and I think that was a good pick. Very solid pick. Very good pick.
Senator Kyle would be excellent again.
Yep. All right, we're going to take more calls. It's a busy Tuesday, Monday-ish, because of the holiday, but Tuesday. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So Senator Kyle will be there, Jordan, time to vote.
Yeah, that should be the case. I mean, he should be right. Goes right through. So, I mean, you know, governor gets to pick that. They will then take the oath. I think that was a great move. Someone who's popular with kind of the new Republican and the older guard as well.
Yep.
And has got experience in Washington, D.C. So he could be an immediate impact. He will be an immediate impact in Washington. And so it's unique.
He was a senior member of the Senate, too. Yeah, so that's a really smart move. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. The hearings for Senator judicial nominee to the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, going on right now. Fan Bennett just left the hearings. He's on Capitol Hill. Fan, what could you tell us besides the noise and the disruptions?
Not a whole lot, Jay, because that's really all it's been this morning. I think the only word to describe it really is a circus. The process has been made a mockery of. But I note a couple of things, Jay. First of all, most of the disruptions are coming from, you know, the lower end of the dais on the Democrat side. These are people who are already running for president in 2020. They are not making substantive arguments, and so I would argue to you that when you run out of substantive points to make, that's probably the best case to be made that Judge Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed and be confirmed with Democrat votes. Jay, just one other sort of interesting tidbit. As I was just walking out of the hearing room, there was a man dressed up, clearly a protester for Code 10. The bystander asked him, "Have you gotten arrested yet?"
We lost you there. Go ahead and say that again.
Well, he was a protester for Code Pink standing outside the committee room, and a bystander said, "Have you gotten arrested yet?" And his response to them, Jay, was, "No, not yet. Tomorrow is my day." That's how coordinated these protests and these disruptions have been.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it could get to that point where you just say, you know, we don't live in a day and age where this is the only way we can see it. It can all be broadcast. It's all broadcast live for all of us to watch. So you're not denying anyone's ability to really participate by saying enough. Because you're not going to get into a substantive discussion, way too distracting. I think, honestly, that's the truth. These nominees, I think what you saw with Neil Gorsuch, you can see it with John Roberts, you're going to see it with Brett Kavanaugh. When they actually have to get into substance with these senators, they blow them out of the water every time. Get into these matches on nastiness.
On intellect, on judicial philosophy, cases. They're not going to be able to match these. They don't even have follow-ups.
They usually just say, okay. Or I disagree. I mean, you know, they don't really get. They ask a really nasty, long question, and then they just take they get the answer, and then they just kind of
not away. So, Than, let me. You painted the atmosphere. Give us a timetable. What's going to happen here?
Well, I still think that the hearings are going to wrap on Friday, Jay. They're going to have a long day today, longer than they expected because of the delay tactics. We'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh. My guess is around 3:30 or 4:00 this afternoon. And then tomorrow, Jay, will be the marathon day of questions. We'll see if there's any substantive. Because, look, there were 500,000 pages turned over. Do the Democrats have anything in those 500,000 pages to ask real questions on? I don't know. We'll find the answer to that tomorrow. There will be another day of questioning on Thursday, and then outside witnesses on Friday. Jay, ultimately, long story short, I expect Judge Kavanaugh to be on the Supreme Court by the time the next term sits on October 1st.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think he's going to be confirmed with at least 3 Democrat votes.
I still think that's correct. I mean, we've got, I'd like to, you know, we've got a case at Manup at the Supreme Court. It'd be great to have 9 justices. I've had the experience where you've had, Andy, you co-counseled that one with me. We've had a 4-4, and then you re-argue it.
Right.
Which, by the way, is not always the case. You don't always re-argue it. In our particular case, they did.
That's right.
But it can create an awkward situation. All right, Than, let me ask you one last question. We'll let you get back in there. When do you expect the substantive discussions that Jordan was alluding to start taking place? The questions from the senators to the nominee, when do you think that starts?
Yeah, as far as questions go, that'll start tomorrow, Jay. There have been some substantive points made on the Republican side today, but Judge Kavanaugh won't have an opportunity to respond to anything substantive until tomorrow. And just one thing I'd remind our listeners of, Jay, there is a productive way to engage this process, and it's the one that we have engaged in. We delivered the petition of more than 105,000 ACLJ members to the Senate Judiciary Committee last week. You can still add your name to that petition. Jay, that petition is going to be referenced during the course of this hearing. That is how you engage this process on substance. You don't scream and obfuscate and protest and ultimately get arrested. You engage the process in the way the Constitution affords, and that is exactly what we've done.
I mean, if you were protesting outside on the public streets and the public walkways, I've supported those cases for 3 decades. I get it. That's free speech. Inside a hearing, you don't get to interrupt a court proceeding. You shouldn't be interrupted. You interrupt a legislative proceeding, you're going to get arrested.
I mean, he got to the point where, so you have your family there today. He has 2 young daughters there. They left, and the mother had to take them out because it got so nasty from the senators. So they weren't even kind of that the protesters, but that the senators were being so nasty. Of course, they're encouraging these protests. These are not such big rooms, so when you'll see that these Democrat senators are moving, people are moving around. You see these tight shots. So you got a situation where even on the opening statement day,
yep,
you couldn't have kids in the room. That says a lot about the processes that left.
Let's follow up what Jordan just said, and we'll take a call here, Harry, and that is the lack of decorum. I mean, that's what this is.
I think you're
lack of civility.
You're absolutely correct. What we have witnessed today is nothing short of coordinated chaos, coordinated belligerence, as shrieking Democratic and left-wing hecklers try to disrupt the hearing. At the same time, the Democrats have ignored 500,000 pages of documents which are actually available, and they have failed to ask any substantive questions. So what they're trying to do is to bully the nominee and delay the hearing and make political points as they dog whistle to their own base.
Listen to this nasty statement by Senator Durbin regarding Brett Kavanaugh, who has served now for 13 years on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia.
We do know that before you became a judge, you were faithfully advancing the Republican Party agenda. I jokingly said in one of your previous appearances that you're like the Forrest Gump of Republican politics. You always show up in the picture. Whether it's the Ken Starr investigation, Bush versus Gore, the Bush White House, you've been there.
What's your reaction to that, Jordan?
I think, first of all, it shows that he's a pretty accomplished attorney before he got nominated to the court, that he was everywhere in major things. But it also shows the second part, which is the old Democrats. These are really old leaders who are still stuck in the early 2000s. But third is Forrest Gump had mental challenges. I mean, part of the movie is mental his disabilities and overcoming those disabilities. Brett Kavanaugh is a nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States, is one of probably the best minds in the country legally to get to that point, even to get to the point of circuit court nominee or to a point where you're in every picture of every major legal issue going on in Washington, D.C. And so it's demeaning. Dick Durbin is nasty. This is his modus operandi. But it also does show an out of touch to me. They reference old movies. They're old, and what they talk about politically is old news.
So, Andy, what was your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, it was a nasty and despicable remark by a nasty and despicable man, and I've followed his career through the time. He's now, what, Democrat whip in the Senate. I mean, he's a nasty person. He and Pelosi are known for making nasty, partisan, despicable remarks like that, and to make it in front of the senator, the judge, with his family there, I think is beneath dignity.
I was going to ask you, Than, you were there when all that was going on. You saw the wife and take Mrs. Kavanaugh take the 2 kids out. What's your reaction to all this?
That moment was breathtaking, Jay, and I'll just tell you, as someone with family members that struggle with this kind of thing, I found it vile.
I found it disgusting, and I found it well beneath the institution of the United States Senate. And let me just tell you this. That comment, as reprehensible as it was nothing, Jay, compared to what was being yelled from the audiences and the protesters, the personal attacks against his wife and children. I was glad they were not in the room when Senator Durbin made those comments. But, Jay, they were in there for plenty of them. The United States Senate's got to be better than this.
I would hope so. I'm not going to ask you to repeat. You know, we only hear the screaming and yelling. We don't know what they're saying. But can you describe it without getting into gory details?
Let's put it this way. Personal gender-based attacks on his wife and daughters. Just completely out of place. And by the way, have nothing to do with the job for which Judge Kavanaugh's been nominated.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. That the reality here is it's outrageous. I mean, I can call it whatever you want. I'm just calling it what it is. This is it's digressed to this. Having said that, at the end of the week, towards the end of next week, let's get the timing of the vote, because Brett Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. So what's the time frame here, Van?
Yeah, he's going to be the Senate Judiciary Committee will confirm him roughly 2 weeks from now, probably the week of September 20th, day, likely that Thursday. I think it's the 24th. And then I believe he will be confirmed the following week on the floor of the Senate. My guess would be maybe the 28th, but the important date is October 1. I believe he will be on the court by October 1.
All right, there you have it, which is good. We've got a case in conference September 24th, and who knows if there'll be another case that might arise up there, other cases. So we all have an active time at the Supreme Court as we normally do. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110, coming into the last segment of the broadcast. Let me also encourage you to stay engaged in this process. This is going to be a very tumultuous week in Washington, D.C. Having said that, at the end of this, Judge Kavanaugh will become Justice Kavanaugh. Harry?
Absolutely. And it will require perseverance on the part of our listeners to stay tuned in and to continue to apply pressure to members of the Senate to support this well-qualified nominee and to ignore the attempt by the Dems to create a circus led by Dick Durbin.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. We got a lot of calls coming in right now, but phone lines will open up. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And the last segment of the broadcast is coming up. We will get into as many phone calls as we can. So we'll just go right through phone calls, trying to answer questions about this process as it moves forward. 1-800-684-3110. The Kavanaugh nomination, Washington, D.C. It begins, opening statements by senators, a lot of disruption, coordinated delay tactics by Democrats as well. 1-800-684-3110. We come back. Go to ACLJ.org as well. Stay updated on the issues. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Full phones. The Kavanaugh hearing is underway. Coordinated effort by Senate Democrats trying to delay. I think also trying to confuse the American public because they do know that they're talking to people. Listen, everybody doesn't always remember the breakdown of the U.S. Senate or the way the Senate Judiciary Committee works and the breakdown there of these 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats and how much power do they actually have and are they really able to stop a vote and how partisan. And then on top of that, you have protesters disrupting everything every 35 seconds. So you put that together, you get chaos. And under chaos, I would say the Republicans don't do as well. They just don't. They're not. They kind of can let things get out of control. I do believe Chairman Grassley's got that back under control. They're on a break right now as we're live. This is a statement day, not a questioning day. So it's a day where you will get statements from all the senators, and ultimately you'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh as well. Right to the phones we go. Art is calling in from California on line 3. Art, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say thank you for everything you guys are doing.
Yep.
And keeping you guys in prayer. My question statement is in relation to, since this is a planned, coordinated attack on the voting, on the system, and just following, you know, due process, it almost seems like they are trying to delay as much as possible in the hopes of...
Well, there's no... Look, Art, there's no question. I mean, there's no question there's going to be delay. You know, Wes, you were in the military where it was you had process and procedures and protocol. Those have all been thrown out the window in this hearing so far.
Oh, absolutely. The polarities of the various factions in Washington, D.C. are on full display this morning, and the ugliness of the Democrats and their supporters in the gallery are stark. And Than's right. This is choreographed. In fact, you know, Judge Kavanaugh has been very, very forthcoming. He has released more documents than the five previous nominees combined. He's been on the bench almost 13 years, 307 opinions.
300 opinions. You want to know what he thinks?
Yeah.
Let me give you an idea. Well, go read the 300 opinions.
And this whole thing about White House papers is such a ruse.
Say something about the White House papers for a moment. First of all, there's executive privilege. The staff secretary it doesn't sound like a big position, but it is a huge position. No paper goes to the president unless it goes through this staff secretary who's a lawyer and is a senior advisor to the president. It's a very senior position. Sometimes there are deputy chiefs of staff. And this idea that they would just turn over executive privilege material is absurd. Now, they've turned over a lot. It's been very transparent. But you want to know what he thinks as a judge? Read his 300 opinions. Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah. Well, you look back in history, no one questioned Justice Ginsburg's records and her extensive work for the ACLU.
Right.
And that's where she worked. No one asked for Kagan's papers because she was the associate White House counsel under Bill Clinton. Never came up. No one asked for Sotomayor's, you know, records from her private practice. And so executive privilege, as you said, is very important. The staff secretary controls all the paperwork going to the president's desk. Much of that is classified, and much of that has to do with national security. It is very proper for the White House to protect those documents.
No question about it. All right, we're going to take more calls. 800-684-3110, last segment here.
Let's go to Dennis in Florida on line one. And Dennis, thanks for holding on. Let's get Dennis a book after. So, Dennis, don't hang up. After your question, comment, and we'll get you on the air and get you a book.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay. First of all, I want to say I hope that all those protesters are being arrested, not just shown the door. But
we don't know. Sometimes it's a lot of showing the door. Sometimes they arrest them.
I think they're technically arrested.
Not be charged. But go ahead.
Yeah. Reference all this asking for the things that Kavanaugh did before. He's already been through one confirmation. If there was so important to have this stuff, why didn't they ask for it then? This confirmation should be from what he did on the circuit court, because everything else has already been cleared.
Well, they're going to say because it's a Supreme Court nominee, it's at a higher stakes because the Supreme Court nominee is not bound by Supreme Court precedent. And that's where they're getting to. But having said that, as you referenced, this is a look. They're trying to do whatever they can to delay here.
They don't want to make it about his judicial philosophy because that makes them look too partisan. So they're going to tactics they think that work right now. The American people, they're hiding documents. They're going back to torture. You know, they want to get to that or enhanced interrogation, whatever you want to call that. They are relitigating the Bush White House, and that's because that's much easier for Dick Durbin to do than to actually talk about judicial philosophy. And he doesn't want to actually admit that, and none of them want to actually admit that they're only voting against him because it's judicial philosophy. They already know his judicial philosophy, as Dennis said. That is easy to come up with because he's been on the court for 12 years. He has these opinions. He has nowhere to hide his judicial philosophy. He's written about it. He's had to make the tough decisions. He's in Washington, D.C. with all these federal issues coming before him. So they have to make it about something else because it's not going to be about his actual philosophy, which is what should matter as qualifications. You know, ABA has given him the he's gotten all of the right
standards that you need to become a justice. All right, let's go ahead and take more calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Mike in Kansas on line 4. Mike, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Mike.
Morning, fellas. Hello, fellas. I appreciate what you're doing. The Democrats are squealing like drug addicts that are going through withdrawal because the conservatives are taking their ability to legislate from the bench away from them, and they're just going into mass hysteria because of it.
Well, they've taken a view, Andy here, and I'll get Andy and Harry to comment quickly on this. They don't want to challenging his judicial record is not going to get them anywhere. Andy, nowhere.
No, it's not. You can look at his opinions, and you can find that he is in the mainstream. In the sense that he is a textualist, an originalist, and a constitutionalist. Okay, he knows how to read the Constitution and to interpret it as it was written, as it was intended to do by the founders. What's wrong with that? That's what we want. We don't want a legislator. If we wanted that, then we could determine whether he should run for Congress or the Senate. We're looking for a justice of the Supreme Court. What is he talking about when he talks about religious liberty? Read his opinions, contraceptive rights, Obamacare, administrative law, religious exercise, separation of powers, agency overreach by the executive. Read his opinions. That's all you need. You don't need anything else.
Harry?
Well, I think Andy is absolutely correct. Any impartial review of Kavanaugh's scholarship and opinions suggests that he believes in the Constitution, he believes in the rule of law, and he believes in a conservative jurisprudential philosophy. That is what scares the Democrats, and so they've gone into an hysterical and theatrical mode in order to delay install his nomination.
Go ahead. Wes is shaking his head.
Well, the most telling thing about this charade is that the day that his nomination was announced, before any documents were ever released, Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin said they were going to vote against him.
Right. So it tells you what this is.
Yeah, it's a game, but it's one that's gotten really nasty. They ultimately lose this battle, so Brett Kavanaugh will be there. Doesn't have to be up for re-election like all of them. He gets to be there for the rest of his life. And it does seriously impact the court. I mean, I think this is what's driving them wild. But, you know, elections have consequences, like we say. And the Supreme Court has been, as we've talked about for so long, an aging court. And that's coming to fruition now. I mean, it really is very quickly with these nominees. But ultimately, it is Harry Reid who I think that they're all their own rules that led to their inability to stop these nominees.
All right, so we're going to be taking more of your calls tomorrow on this. Also, stay engaged with on our social media, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ, at Van Bennett. There's a lot of ways to stay engaged. We encourage you to do that, and as more information comes available, we're going to get it to you. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.